Well, it's very nice to be back. Thank you for having me again, Christchurch. And my first question to you is, who has given something up for Lent? Oh, quite a number of you. Who's already had the thing that you've given up for Lent? Well done, one at the back, an honest person. Who hasn't got any idea what I'm talking about? Thank you at the back as well. Lent is a season which follows the pattern of Jesus' 40-day fast that he did at the beginning of his public ministry. And there's a long tradition in the church of believers observing Lent through giving up things, through forms of fasting. In the early days, that meant fasting from foods that were considered to be luxury foods. They included things like eggs, which I think probably none of us now would see as a huge luxury, and dairy products, and hence the fact that on Shrove Tuesday, you used all of those up to make your pancakes. And these days, it's as likely to be chocolate or alcohol or Instagram. And the truth is that there are good and bad reasons for us to follow in this example of giving things up for the Lent. So although we're already a few days into the season, it's not too late for us to take a moment and consider our motives. And I'm going to start with the bad news. The bad news is that giving up brownies doesn't earn you any brownie points. Little sigh there. Because there is a risk that in these acts of self-denial, we can find ourselves motivated by a desire to somehow earn the favour of God. In other words, they become acts of self-righteousness. And we either can end up feeling quite pleased with ourselves because of our amazing self-discipline, or completely wrongly despairing of ourselves and our lack of ability to get through a week without chocolate. And both of these things completely miss the point. The only way that we become acceptable to God, that we are counted as righteous before him, as the people who, in the words of the psalm we just read, can stand in the judgment, is through accepting the forgiveness made possible at the cross of Christ, through believing in Jesus and being born again into new life in him. My husband, who was brought up a Catholic, would proudly tell you if he was here now that he has never given anything up for Lent. And I don't for a second doubt his salvation. I spent the early years of my Christian life in a very free, Pentecostal type church in which Lent would have been very much frowned upon. But I have always found, to some degree, observing as the seasons of the church beneficial. So what I'm saying, I guess, is that you really are free to observe it, not observe it. But if we're going to, then there are good and not so good reasons to doing that. So if we're free, what is the point of having given up alcohol, Facebook, cake, whatever it may be? But before you all rush out to the nearest corner shop and stock back up on sweets, I want to answer that question, why bother? And the answer lies in our readings today. There is a wonderful offer contained in the psalm. The possibility of not just existing in Christ, but thriving in him, growing in faith and becoming fruitful. We, very ordinary people, can become like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. And how do we do this? And the answer is also in the reading. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Lent is a reminder to turn aside from the busyness of life and the passing pleasures of this world, and to delight ourselves in God, in his word. which for the psalmist meant the books of the law, and for us means the whole of the Bible, and ultimately the revelation and living word that is Jesus Christ. It's not that we become these happy or blessed people by our acts of sacrifice, but by choosing to make God the central focus of our lives again. We're not called to try and perfect ourselves, but to make room for the author and perfecter of our faith to work in us, to anchor us and root us in his love, like those trees planted by streams. If we are choosing to give things up, the intention is to clear our lives of distractions, a bit like a gardener might clear their garden of weeds. Not just for the sake of kneeling in the mud and getting dirty and getting a sore back, but so that beautiful and useful things can grow. So the goal of Lent is focus more on Jesus, the living word, and less on ourselves. If currently, whatever it is you've given up is causing you to turn inwards, if you are grumping around the house due to a lack of biscuits, then either use that discomfort to turn you towards God in prayer, allow it to show you your limitations and dependence on him and ask for strength, or to be honest, just maybe have a biscuit and just give thanks for it. I'm not suggesting that we avoid any pain or cost. When the servants at the wedding in Cana in our gospel reading are called to fill those enormous, heavy stone jars with water, that would have been really hard work. What I am saying is that Lent is about abundance, not scarcity. There's a principle at work in our relationship with God where not only does he promise to respond to us when we draw near to him, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But he promises to respond extravagantly and out of all proportion. Jesus once said to his followers that anyone who leaves behind friends or family or possessions for him will receive many times, 100 times more in this life. At the wedding of Cana, Jesus takes the water, and I've read, turns it into maybe 1,000 bottles of fantastic wine. Paul says that our light and momentary afflictions in this life are achieving for us a weight of glory. And Lent is a small example of this process. To put it simply, you give up biscuits, you get glory. Fast from alcohol and receive more of the Spirit. In the Gospel, Mary, Jesus' mother, intervenes when the wine runs out and tells the servants to do whatever he tells you. So if you've drifted into Lent as a bit of a habit, or you haven't even considered the possibility of following it, then please join me, maybe today, maybe later on, in taking time to ask Jesus, what is it you are calling me to do? What are the things that for me personally push Jesus out of the center of my attention? And if you're willing to listen and then do whatever he tells you to, you will surely find, like the guests at the wedding, that it is worth it. I leave you with the words of scholar and retired bishop Tom Wright. Lent is a time for discipline, for confession, for honesty, not because God is mean or fault-finding or finger-pointing, but because he wants us to know the joy of being cleaned out, ready for all the good things he now has in store.